Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Eileen Poindexter and Matthew Marshall from the West Haven Blackberry Festival. How long has the West Haven Blackberry Festival been going on?
Well, it's been going on since 1960, so that is 56 years.
56 years. And how did it start?
I think there was a need in the community, and Matt, maybe you can address this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the West Haven Volunteer Fire Department, which was founded back in 1950, and, you know, we're an all-volunteer fire department. You know, we don't get any sort of regular tax revenue or anything like that, so it's really fundraisers that help support the department, and, you know, this was a way to kind of bring the community together and help, you know, provide the finances to operate the department.
And it seems like a festival makes a lot of sense because blackberries kind of grow rampant in Humboldt County. Do you have property that has blackberries on it?
Yes, they're weeds.
who doesn't have property
right.
that has blackberries, whether you want it or not?
It makes complete sense to have a blackberry festival.
So you have this blackberry festival every year, and is it always the last Sunday in July?
Yes, yeah, it's been that way for as long as I can remember since I was a little kid.
Okay, so that makes it really easy for people to put on their calendars, really easy to figure out what day that's going to happen. Now, it's happening in West Haven. For people who aren't familiar with the area, can you let people know where West Haven is at?
Yeah, we're sort of a suburb of Trinidad, I always say. You know, if you are heading north to Moonstone Beach in that area, it's the West Haven Drive exit on the south side of Trinidad. It's basically, West Haven goes from like the Little River up to Trinidad. It's about 450 households, so it's actually a little bigger than the city of Trinidad actually in population.
Oh, okay. And so, like, if you're heading north, you would take, is it 6th Avenue?
Yeah, to get to the fire hall and the actual festival is right off of the highway there.
Oh, okay. So the festival happens at the fire department there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of near the West Haven Center for the Arts is down the street from us.
Great. So it's been going on for a really long time. And what happens at the festival itself?
Well, we eat pie and we sell pies. And there's also music. We always have vendors there selling goods, and sometimes we have activities for the kids.
Who do you normally have for music? Is it usually local groups that come out and perform?
Yeah, usually local bands. You know, we're blessed, even in Trinidad and West Haven, to have a lot of great musicians, and then others from the area that'll come and play. And, of course, we always have, you know, beer and wine for folks that want an adult beverage.
So let's talk about the pies now. What types of pies, what sort of berries do you have in your pies?
They're local, two varieties of blackberries. And we also make huckleberry pies, and we also sometimes make apple pies.
Now, I have to say, I had the very best huckleberry pie I've ever eaten was one of the whole pies that you guys sell and people take home and pop in their freezer, and then for a very special event, they pull it out. I can't imagine picking and cleaning that many huckleberries to put in a pie. Do you have this team of volunteers that go out and pick these berries?
We actually have people who pick for us. We do pay them. So it's a livelihood for some people. And they are very meticulous with the berries. But yeah, we're excited about huckleberry pies because I'm normally a person wouldn't do that themselves.
No, I would never pick that many. I mean, just to make enough for a couple jars of jam is like a whole afternoon of work. So that's pretty amazing that people pick enough for entire pies. Now, is there a picking ground secret? You know, usually people won't share that information.
I don't really know where they pick.
See, that's
so
what I mean.
It is secret. And we also do make jams as well, huckleberry and blackberry jams.
Okay. So let's talk about the actual pie making. Now, do you make all your crusts from scratch?
Yes, all the crusts are made from scratch. The fillings made from scratch. We have 5 to 10 volunteers each week making pies. So we're usually making about 60 pies every Tuesday.
Wow.
Starting in January, 60 pies. So we end up with about 800 to 1,000 pies total.
Wow,
and
that's
about
a lot of
400
pies.
Jars of jam.
And jam, too. That's a lot of jam making. Now, about how many of those pies are actually sold as whole frozen pies, and how many are actually baked that day for slices of pies?
Well, we usually bake about 300 to 400 pies, and that's for cutting and serving during the festival, and then some people like to buy already baked pies.
Oh, okay.
The rest are kept frozen, and then we have pre-orders for pies, and you can also buy frozen pies during the festival.
Now, if a person wanted to pre-order a pie, who would they contact?
Erica is the person who's the contact for the pie. Her phone number is 498-4427.
Okay, so people could call her and put in a pre-order, and they are picked up the day of the festival?
Yes.
Always?
That's sometimes you can pick them up ahead of time, but mostly we try to do it during the festival.
Now, tell me about this assembly line of, is it all women that come to bake
we
pies?
We do have some men that also volunteer, and we actually have a couple that camps over by Big Lagoon for about a month, and they come in and help.
Oh, that's nice.
And they also come during the festival and help serve pies.
Uh-huh.
So that's really lovely to see them every year.
Well, it's great to have both genders involved in the pie making, I think. Are there a variety of ages of people who
do it? I would say we're mostly 50, 60, 70, and we have an 80-year-old.
When people come and they show up, maybe they've never volunteered before to help you make pies, do you welcome new volunteers?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, there's always room to have someone there helping us. And actually, you know, if you have just a smaller group, you make maybe a third of the pies. If you have double the group, you make three times the pie. So there's an efficiency there.
Now, what sort of a job might a new person get in the pie making?
They could be mixing up the mix. They could be rolling dough. Those simpler things. The more experienced people crimp the pies.
Because they look so beautiful when you get a good crimper. I am not a good crimper, so I know what
you mean.
Come
and volunteer, and by the time you're done, you'll be a great crimper.
I'll bet. See, this is a way I could learn a skill. This is good. Now, when you make the crusts, what kind of ingredients go into the crust for the pie?
Secret.
Secret ingredients. Now I really want to come and help make pies because I want to get the secret. Because making a good crust, people who do it, I think they take it for granted. Like, how can you not make a good pie crust? But boy, when you've eaten a pie that has a tough crust, you just know that is not a recipe you want to follow.
The person who does the pie dough is usually the person that does it every week. So you have a consistency there.
And she's also keeping it a secret.
Yes. She said, keep it a secret.
So you have a person who's maybe mixing up the pie crusts and rolling them out. And then you have people who are making the filling. Now, does the filling have sugar in it, or is it?
Yes, it's a traditional filling with sugar and then some flour to help thicken it up.
And does it go back to the original pies? Have these recipes been changed over the years?
They've been changed, yes. They were changed about 8 years ago. The person who took over the operation decided that there was something that she wanted different. And so we've been with those recipes.
Oh, okay. So you kind of worked with the original recipe and then found a way to make it even better.
It's 56 years, it's probably changed a few times.
It probably has. Yeah. I've eaten one of those pies, and I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do to improve on it at this point. I think it's pretty darn good. So you have the person who's making the filling and putting the filling in the pies, and then a person putting maybe the top crust on and crimping.
We have two or three people rolling out the dough and two or three people crimping pies and getting them in the packages and in the freezer.
And then where do they get frozen, all these pies?
Yeah, so at the fire department, we've got the fire hall, you know, garage that has our vehicles in it. And then we've got a community hall, like many fire departments. And we've got a large walk-in cooler that basically just gets filled up over the course of the spring with pies. And it's quite an impressive sight to see that many pies in one place.
How do you guys resist this? I'm thinking, you know, all the volunteer fire departments, you've got to be in the same room with all these pies. And
there's a lock on the freezer, and only a few people have the key.
Oh, that's so smart. Okay, well, let's quickly talk about what the money is used for, because you guys raise, how much money do you raise every year?
I think the pie sales last year was about $6,000, and then the event, was closer to 10 total for food and, you know, vendors and everything. And that's really, you know, about, you know, a half or so or more of our annual operating budget for the department. So it's really what, you know, keeps fuel in the vehicles and keeps our equipment, you know, maintained. And that's, you know, our major fundraiser for the year that really helps fund the department. Obviously, the team is all volunteers, so nobody's being, you know, paid as far as the actual firefighters, but the equipment's expensive, you know, maintenance costs, and, you know, it adds up.
Well, this sounds great. I am looking forward to it. I'm going to go this year, and I'm definitely pre-ordering some pies. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Eileen Poindexter and Matthew Marshall from the West Haven Blackberry Festival. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.